The carol, Angel Voices Ever Ringing, talked about great design, bringing pleasure to God. And the reading we've just heard reminds us that God knows everything about us because he was part of our creation from the very beginning. He's made us. He's given us each skills and talents because he's a generous and loving God. On your table, perhaps now you could share with one another the gifts and talents that you believe that you've been given by God. Sometimes they link in with the passions that we might have. Or maybe you recognize specific gifts in other people around your table that you could tell them about. Maybe it's something they haven't recognized in themselves. But share with one another the gifts from God. I hope the conversations you've been having might carry on at a later date. I'd like to tell you a story that links to having and using a gift. Back in the 16th century, in a tiny village near Nuremberg, lived a family with 18 children. Can't even begin to imagine. In order to keep food on the table for his brood, Albrecht Dürer the Elder, the father and head of the household, was a goldsmith by profession. He worked almost 18 hours a day at his trade and any other paying chore that he could find in the neighbourhood. Despite the family strain, two of the Dürer's male children, Albrecht the younger and Albert, had a dream. They both wanted to pursue their talent for art. But they knew that their father would never be financially able to send either of them to Nuremberg to study at the academy there. After many long discussions at night in their crowded bed, the two boys finally worked out a pact. They would toss a coin. The loser would go to work in the nearby mines and with his earnings support his brother while he attended the academy. Then in 4 years, when that brother who won the toss completed his studies, he would support the other brother at the academy, either with sales of his artwork or, if necessary, also by labouring in the mines. They tossed a coin on a Sunday morning after church. Albrecht the younger won the toss and went off to Nuremberg. Albert went down into the dangerous mines, and for the next 4 years he financed his brother, whose work at the academy was almost an immediate sensation. His etchings, his woodcuts, and his oils were far better than those. And by the time he graduated, he was beginning to earn considerable fees for his commissioned works. When the young artist returned to his village, the Dürer family held a festive dinner on their lawn to celebrate Albrecht's triumphant homecoming. After a long and memorable meal, punctuated with music and laughter, Albrecht rose from his honoured position at the head of the table to drink a toast to his beloved brother for the years of sacrifice that had enabled Albrecht to fulfil his ambition. His closing words were, "And now, Albert, blessed brother of mine, now it's your turn. Now you can go to Nuremberg to pursue your dream, and I will take care of you." All heads turned in eager expectation to the far end of the table where Albert sat. Tears streaming down his pale face, shaking his lowered head from side to side while he sobbed and repeated over and over, "No, no, no." Finally, Albert rose and wiped the tears from his cheeks. he glanced down the long table at the faces he loved. And then holding his hands close to his right cheek, he said softly, "No, brother, I cannot go to Nuremberg. It is too late for me. Look what 4 years in the mines have done to my hands. The bones in every finger have been smashed at least once. And lately, I've been suffering from arthritis so badly in my right hand that I cannot even hold a glass to return your toast, much less make delicate lines on parchment or canvas with a pen or a brush. No, brother, for me, it is too late." I'm just looking at Susie now because you're going to... More than 400 years have passed. By now, Albrecht Dürer's pen and silver point sketches, watercolours, charcoals, woodcuts and copper engravings hang in every great museum of the world. But the odds are great that you, like most people, are familiar with his most famous work. Some people believe that Albrecht Dürer painstakingly drew his brother's abused hands with palms together and thin fingers stretched skyward in honour of his brother Albert. He called his powerful drawing simply Hands. But the entire world almost immediately and renamed his tribute of love Praying Hands. The work is a reminder, perhaps, that no one ever makes it alone. No matter what age we are, there are things in our life that we're thankful for. There are things we need to say sorry for. There are things that amaze and astonish us, which make us go, wow. And there are things we need help with. So for our prayers, you're going to need to take a piece of paper. You've got some on your table. And I would like you to divide it into quarters. You'll need a pen or a selection of felt-tip pens. And when you fold it in quarters, you can have it this way or this way. It's entirely up to you. In one corner, write thank you. In another quarter, write sorry. In another quarter, write help. And in another corner, write wow. And then for our prayers, individually, you're going to either write or draw whatever you feel in those four sections as an act of prayer today. So things you are thankful for, you can write it or draw it. Things that you think, wow, that's just amazing. Again, write it or draw it. Things that you're sorry about, things you would like help for. Spend just a few minutes of quiet in this act of prayer. For our collective prayers, I say Amen. We have all sorts of containers these days, made of all kinds of things. Plastic, glass, silicone, ceramic, cardboard, wood. But in biblical times, especially the Old Testament, they had for a variety of jobs. Clay jars. Used for different purposes. They would simply buy a pot of a different size or shape. Whether decorative or ordinary, they were made of the same stuff. Dirt, clay and water. No wonder the image of the potter and clay crops up in the Bible. Isaiah 64 verse 8 says, Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Our life rests in God's hands. As a skilled potter, he knows how to exert precise pressure, when to relax his grip, how to score our life with his fingernail, how to squeeze and nudge, all of which increases our fitness as the vessel for his use. And at times we're placed in the kiln where the fires of life turn us into stronger vessels. Maybe you could share with your neighbour what it is you've created, or what you felt, or what you felt, or maybe not, or what you felt as you played with the clay. Did you feel God speak to you through it? Did it highlight more needs for prayer? Just take a minute to share with your neighbour any thoughts you might have had. Thank you for being willing to go with that, for being willing to make mess. I'm sorry if you had created something and then when the instruction was, squash it. I know what that feels like. And some of you kept what you'd made, and that's just fine. You are God's masterpiece, created perfectly by him and loved by him. But be aware that you are probably not the finished article. God may wish to continue moulding you, perfecting your shape. Or he may wish to temporarily reshape you altogether for a particular purpose that he has in mind. Whatever our situation, be reassured that you are cradled in the hands of a skilled potter, the hands that created the world, and there is no better place to be.